Hey everybody, this is Valerie here, one half of CosPod, and this is episode 76. As you can see, Amber is not here right now. She has just finished the process of moving to her new place. Doesn't quite have access to all of her equipment yet. She's still unpacking, setting things up. You know how it is when you move. So I just want to give her a big hi, let her know that everything is okay. It's totally cool that you're not here. I know she's kind of freaking out because she feels like she's been neglecting the podcast, but we gave you guys fair warning that this was probably going to happen. There you go. As such, I am manning this thing all by myself. I hope I do a good job because I'm not very good at talking things, but that's okay. We'll make this happen. This will be funny for everybody. So welcome to CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. My name is Valerie, and have some fun today. We're going to keep this a fairly light, simple, easygoing episode, nothing too crazy or over the top. For this particular episode, we're going to be focusing on a couple of different topics. We've got some cosplay updates. We're going to talk about the next convention that we'll both be attending. And I also want to kind of go over some of the things that I did 2 days ago for N7 Day, which is Mass Effect Day. Still rocking the sweatshirt for that. And then some other topics about cosplay that we've recently heard in the media, specifically about BlizzCon and a couple of things that have popped up from that. So there you go. First things first is cosplay updates, which is what we usually do whenever we start out with our episodes. I have been massively busy working on costumes this past week. In particular, my Dragon Effect costume, which is, for those who don't know what that is, and I've talked about this a couple of times, it's taking the characters from the Mass Effect universe and putting them in the Dragon Age universe and wearing all their cool costumes and whatnot. And I have been having a hell of a time getting mine done. This is specifically for PAX South, and it has been a bear, and I'm seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. It's getting there. It's getting there. Most of the sewing is done. I think the biggest challenge lays ahead of me because I have to make the staff, which should be simple for most people, but I suck at making props. I usually make props out of, like, cardboard. Even the staff that I made for Queen Beryl was made out of cardboard. So trying to make something that would be epically cool for the Dragon Age universe is kind of freaking me out. So anyway, I'm going to step up and show you guys what I've been working on. I think this has been kind of the fun part. I have made this really cool collar out of so many pretty feathers. Look at those feathers, so pretty. This has been my task, been making a collar for this costume, as well as finishing up things on the coat, on this really pretty tabard that I've made. A lot of little details that didn't necessarily need to be in the costume, but I felt like it wouldn't be finished unless I spent the time and added those finishings on there. So, like, the tabard alone, I sat down and I calculated how much thread I used for that sucker. I used like 350 yards of thread. I think altogether with the coat, and by the time I get the gloves done, because I got to do embroidery on that sucker too, I'm probably looking at 4 or 5 spools of thread that I've gone through. That's depressing, isn't it? Dang. This is about as much thread as I used for my Amidala dress, and that thing used a ton of black thread. The only problem that I'm having right now is that for this sucker, I didn't dye any of the feathers. The feathers actually were shipped to me like this. I was very fortunate to get the colors that I want. However, when I did a test wearing of it, the purple dye was starting to rub off on my really nice white coat, which was freaking me out. So to all you listeners out there, if you're watching this now or if you're watching this later, if you happen to know of a way to seal paint on feathers, please, please, please let me know. Gone online, I searched a bunch of websites. The only things that I could really find were, it didn't give a brand name. It just says use a spray sealer. And it's like, okay, well, no brand name, no particular product name. What do you mean by a spray sealer? Do you mean like the Kryon spray sealer? Do I need to get like a what spray sealer are you talking about? Do I just need to use hairspray? Is it just as simple as using hairspray? Because that's my other concern too, is once I spray these feathers, are they going to become crunchy? I want them to stay this nice soft texture that I have them in right now. So if you know of how to seal paint on feathers, please tell me, because I would love to attach this to my collar and call it a day without having to check my coat a million times to make sure the dye didn't run, because that would suck so bad. Oh, God, I would be freaking out at that point. By the way, I do have the QA app open for the two viewers that have just joined us. We got a couple of viewers right now. So feel free to ask questions whenever you want. Totally cool. The other thing that I worked on was my headpiece for Liara, which is the Sari headpiece. I did a tutorial on how to paint prosthetics and latex pieces on Friday. It's about 2.5 hours long as I was going through the process, and it's something that you can use for all type of prosthetic pieces. So everything from like big full face masks to elf ears, for noses, for scars, whatever your poison may be. So one of the reasons why I chose to do it was mostly because a lot of people have been asking me questions about it. I'll be drinking a lot. Water. I promise it's just water. But also because I've noticed more people in the community are trying to incorporate prosthetics and prosthesis into their costumes. In particular, the two that stand out to me are the Twinsnik, Hope and Hee-Hee, who use it for like their Mario costumes and for How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's becoming something where it's not just transformation of your clothing, it's a physical transformation of your body as well. And I think that's what's starting to define cosplay and cosplayers, is truly becoming the character. And prosthetics is one way to go. Especially when you think of shows like Face Off, where makeup has become a core medium in developing your character. Definitely prosthetics has become not only easier to obtain, but so much more fun. And honestly, making elf ears is so easy. It is so ridiculously easy, let me tell ya. And I'm actually tempted to, one of these days, since I have so much clay, is actually show you guys how to make and prep molds in order to make latex prosthetics. So give it a shot, watch it, have fun with it, and if you have any questions, you know, there you go. Have I talked about the posters on my wall? No, I have not talked about the posters on my wall. See my wall of posters. I got a lot of chicks on my wall. Dudes are in front of my art table. And by dude, I mean two guys from Mass Effect, which is Rex and Garrus. I don't know if that really counts as dudes, but we'll roll with it, sure. I have a lot of chicks on my wall, and I think it's just because I feel drawn towards these particular characters. What can I say? I think out of all of them, I've cosplayed one, two, three. Oh, there's four up there that I've cosplayed, so that's not bad. That's something. So yeah, that's it for my cosplay updates. I know Amber doesn't have any updates. Val has updates. That's okay. All right, so coming up next on our schedule is Anime North Texas. This is an event that Amber and I visited last year, and we're coming back again this year. They allowed us to be pressed there, so that'll be kind of cool. And I'm trying to think of what we're going to be doing. Pretty much the same thing that we're always doing, which is recording some of the cosplay panels. There are only a handful that are going on Saturday, and that's going to be our big focus day is Saturday. We can't get out of work that Friday, so it is what it is. But what's going to be really, really cool about it is we've gotten interviews for all of the cosplay guests so far, so fingers crossed that it stays that way. And they have a pretty light schedule, so it'll be easy for us to get really nice in-depth interviews with them. I am looking really forward to talking to Sparkle Pipsy. I have mad amount of respect for her, and her tutorial for her Sailor Moon outfits was invaluable to me when I made my Sailor Mercury. So I am really excited to meet her and to talk to her and try not to be a goober in front of her. That is the tricky part. The tricky part is trying to not be a goober. That's what I kept telling myself when we were interviewing Yaya Han. I was like, don't be a goober. Don't be a goober. Remember your questions. Don't be a goober. So it'll be much, much fun. Much, much fun. Yay. But what we're both looking forward to is just having a nice, relaxing con. A&T really surprised us last year because it was very easygoing. It was just a chance to hang out with friends and just chill. And that was really, really nice. It's something that we sorely miss for this time of year. And A&T gives us this nice breather, like a signal to the end of the con season, allows us a chance to relax, and then we start back up again next year and all its madness. So a couple of things I know we're looking forward to is on Saturday they have a leatherworking panel. It's possible that Tandy Leather might be doing that. It didn't say who the host was, so we're curious to see who's hosting that panel. And we'll definitely jump into that one and get a look-see. There's also a prop making 102, or is it 202? It's an intermediate prop making from one of the cosplay guests, so definitely jumping in on that. And of course, they have the cosplay contest. If you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this weekend, go to ANT and sign up for their cosplay contest. And I'm going to tell you why. Everybody who enters is going to be getting a prize. They have managed to get Norcost Co., which is a well-known costume shop in our area, but it is available throughout many states in the U.S. Everybody is getting a 10% off coupon for costume rentals, 20% off of makeup. Norco carries a lot of makeup. I personally use most of their stuff because they have everything I need for my face paints. They've got Krylon, they've got Ben Nye, they've got Mehron. You name it, they've got it, short of the stuff you can get from Ulta, which is more of like your CoverGirl. This is more theater makeup, which is fantastic for cosplayers. So I'm jealous because I'm not entering the costume contest. I have to be someone who's paid for their badge. I'm only there as press, which is fine. But seriously, everybody gets a prize, and that's an awesome prize to get because just even a small discount on my makeup would make my day so happy. Oh my God. So yeah, if you're in the DFW area, just sign up for the contest. And if you don't want that discount, I'll be more than happy to take it off your hands because I surely use it. I got to get more face paint anyway. So there you go. But they're always really cool about giving out really great prizes. Even, I know this is only their second year, but this year, obviously, last year they actually gave away the sewing machine, which is the exact same sewing machine I have. It's the Viking Emerald 118, epic sewing machine. The sucker can go through 8 layers of leather like it's butter. It doesn't stop. It's cool. This year they're giving away a Brother Sir, which I think retails for about $600-ish. That's a pretty darn cool prize if you get best in show. I mean, seriously. Seriously, everybody wants a serger. If you do any type of stretchy fabric, it's a lifesaver. So just sign up. It doesn't matter. But they're also giving away really cool stuff. Like they've got Joanne fabric, not coupons, gift cards. They've got Warbler sheets that they're giving away. I mean, it's tons of cool stuff. So even if you don't think you have a chance at winning, you're still going to get something. So just sign up and do it. So we're looking forward to that for sure. And we know the people who run the cosplay contest, they did a fantastic job last year. We were really surprised at how quickly the contest ran. Usually, whenever we prep for a cosplay contest, we're like, okay, let's schedule 4 hours out of our life because we know it's going to take that long to get them set up, to get them across the stage, to do their halftime show, and then to do the judging session and all that. Last year, I think we were out in like an hour and 10 minutes, hour 20 minutes. And it was scheduled for 2.5 hours. They didn't need it. It was so efficiently ran. The contestants all had plenty of time to get up there, do their thing. And so we know that this contest is ran really, really well. And they pick people who definitely deserve their awards. So we're curious to see what they're going to do this year. I'm so looking forward to all the fun at ANT. And it'll be nice relaxing con. I mean, how can you go wrong with that, right? Right. Okay. So we are going on to latest cosplay news. This past week, there's been a lot of cosplay talk out there in the media land. So many good stuff. Probably the first one I'm going to start with is earlier this week was Cosplay Boom. And I was in that episode again. Yeah. So you guys have heard us talk about Cosplay Boom previously. Something that Amber and I really like about the series is that they focus on multiple cosplayers from around the country. It's not just the people who are quote-unquote cos famous. It's a variety of costumers and people who are in the cosplay community talking about their love for costuming, why they chose the characters, and all that stuff. And this particular episode focused on Dragon Age and Mass Effect in honor of and their stuff. Showing off this sweater again. So when I initially interviewed with them way back at PAX East, and this was in early April, I was in a Mass Effect costume, so that's why I'm in the episode. Can't miss me. I'm the only one there as Matriarch Venezia. And funny enough, I thought it was funny that I didn't even realize that he did this. He recorded footage of me having my headpiece fixed by my boyfriend. Just before the interview began, and I was like, oh, hey, he has a special moment in the video too. Lucky him. But what we thought was really, really cool and interesting about it was hearing how other people responded to BioWare games and to all of their series and franchises, how important those video games were in influencing not only who they were as people, but who they are as costumers. And even just this past weekend, because they also went to BlizzCon this weekend, they have a ton of photos they haven't uploaded yet. They've just kind of give little glimpse and pieces. You just know that they are enjoying the crap out of going to all these conventions and just talking to people. And as I said, it's not the cause famous people. It's the people who are costuming for the very first time. It's people who have been doing this for maybe 15 years. You're getting such a wide variety of people in every single one of these episodes that it's like, wow. I mean, why are cosplay videographers not doing this? That's the one thing that has really turned me off of doing the videography stuff and watching those videos is a lot of repetition of the same cosplayers over and over and over again. And this is not to disrespect the cosplayers themselves or the videographer, but just from my personal standpoint, it feels like it's too much of the same. It's too much repetition. I'm not seeing anything new. I'm not seeing anything exciting. And most of that is because the videographers are so focused on person A, person B, person C. They like working with them, so they repeat. You know, and if that's your thing, that's fine. They're still getting video views. I mean, people are still watching. They're still going to cons, and they're still, you know, getting a lot of feedback for it. That's cool. That's fine. For me personally, I want more variety. I want to see new people in these videos showing off those amazing costumes. They may only have 500 likes on Facebook. Who cares? They may only have 5 Twitter followers. Who cares? Are they wearing a really cool costume? Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's videotape it. And actually, what I'm hoping to do this weekend at ANT is gather a bunch of interviews, not just of the cosplay guests who are well-known both in North Texas, around the country, but to also get the local cosplayers who are just there as fans. You know, from everybody who's been doing it for 20 years to everybody who's been doing it for a first year. So that's one thing that we love about Cosplay Boom and why we keep supporting it and why we keep reposting their stuff. It's because they get the community. They get that it's not just this small facet of people, that it's so much more than that. And they really tried to encompass that. So that's the cool thing. I hope they keep going. I want to see them do well. I know that they're trying to get funding right now. Their initial, like, Kickstarter funding, I think it was through Kickstarter. Don't quote me on this. But their initial Kickstarter funding is starting to run out. I mean, they're producing their episodes, but they need to continue forward in order to get more donations, basically, in order to keep going to more and more conventions. I know they've made note that they're already going to be attending Dragon Con for next year, and that's a big expense. So I would like to see them keep going and to keep adding. And I can't wait to see the new interviews that they have and what they could come up with next. All right. Next one I'm going to go into, since I kind of touched on this very briefly. BlizzCon! I am such a sucker for Blizzard cosplay. Just because it requires a level of dedication that is unmatched anywhere. I mean, you have to spend not just months, but years these pieces. And they are always so incredible, so detailed. And I never understood, well, I don't want to say never understood. I'm going to say I can't fathom how the judges at the costume contest are able to pick first, second, third, and best in show. Because it just seems impossible. Every costume that walks that stage is immaculate. Every costume that walks those halls is crazy. Or they pick something that is so ridiculously funny that you can't help but smile at it. And Blizzard fans are a whole level of dedication that I could never do. They live, breathe, and own everything that is about Blizzard. So every year, whenever BlizzCon comes up, you know, minus the 1 or 2 years where it didn't happen, I always scour through the photos and I always have to watch the costume contest because I love to see these cosplayers in action. They are so cool and so much fun. If you haven't had a chance to watch the costume contest, it happened on Friday. Chris Hardwick, who is the founder of The Nerdist, was the one who hosted this year. It wasn't Jay Mohr, it was Chris Hardwick, which I love Jay. I miss him being there. Chris is equally as awesome and very entertaining. He is a funny guy, nice man too. If you ever get a chance to meet him at a con, talk to him. He's so down to earth, super, super. But they do have the contest online. Go check it out. Recording's a little spotty. There's some glitches here and there. They also don't do Chris's intro, so it just goes right into the cosplay contest and it starts with Leroy Jenkins. What do you do? But there's already a little bit of controversy going around. Even before BlizzCon began, I don't know the full details of the story, but this is what I do know, and I've been trying to find a link to this and yet to find a link. You know how much of this story is actually true. I only found this on Facebook, so giant question mark. It's Facebook. This is probably not even true. But from my understanding was sometime in on Thursday, two people from a well-known cosplay group had issues with their flight in trying to make it to BlizzCon. Some people have said it's because they missed their flight. Other people have said that the line overbooked and they got bumped. I've been on that latter half situation. It sucks donkey butt. When you get bumped from a flight, it is hell to deal with because there's no way to resolve the problem other than to try to book you on another flight and you may have to pay more. You have to pay for the airline's mistake. It sucks. So what they did was in order to get to California, the tickets were going to cost about $2,000, which seems insane for two people. I can only assume that they were carrying really large things in their luggage being checked. Because 2,000 seems a lot, even for a last-minute flight. So what they did was they went on GoFundMe, posted their situation up there, and they said, hey, this is how much money we need to get to BlizzCon. And enough people donated for them to, you know, to make it out there, which is great. That's really cool for them. But now the topic coming up is, was that right for them to do so? Is it cool for them to, I mean, essentially beg for money from people that they don't know in order to attend a convention? And it's something that we see time and time again through web forums and all that type of stuff. You know, people are saying, hey, I don't have enough money for, you know, XYZ con. Can somebody loan me this? Or can someone let me stay in their room for a night for free? And sometimes we tend to brush those off because we're like, okay, kid, seriously, if you don't have money, if you don't have enough allowance, or, you know, think about your priorities. Don't not pay your gas bill or your electricity in order to go to a convention. But this particular cosplay group took it one step further. They went to a website known for this type of, you know, content, and they were able to get reimbursed for their flight. And you have to wonder if that's really ethical or not. And people are going to have their own opinions about this. It's going to go back and forth, and I saw a very healthy debate about it in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in. I think in the long run, at least the way that I see it, it all comes down to what you think is right. And just because I may not agree with their methods on trying to get money in order to make it to BlizzCon, apparently enough people were okay with it. They thought, you know, hey, these guys need help. I would love to see them at BlizzCon. I would love to see them do X, Y, Z. I don't know if they were competing in the costume contest. They may have been. I don't know. So I'm more than happy to donate some money to this cause and help them get to BlizzCon. You know, and that's perfectly fine. It's not my place to decide what you want to do with your money. And it's not my place to tell you if this is okay for me to ask, you know, on a website, you know, can you give me money to go to this con? Ultimately, it's your decision and what you want to do with it. And that seems to be the popular answer right now. Most people seem to be not okay with it, you know, because things happen. Airlines make mistakes. One response that I made was, you know, KatsuCon this year was during that horrible winter storm that completely decimated the East Coast. And by decimated, I mean there was no power. You couldn't go anywhere. Flights were canceled constantly. It just jacked up air traffic for weeks on end. And I know so many people who had their flights canceled on them and couldn't make it out to that con. I know at least four groups who were supposed to compete in the World Cosplay Summit preliminaries there who weren't able to make it because of the weather. I know one group who made it out there who's fortunate to make it out there after spending a lot of money to change their flight. Their luggage disappeared and they weren't able to compete in the World Cosplay Summit. They didn't beg for money. They were lucky to get any type of refund from the airlines or the hotel. I think the hotel was a tiny bit more lenient given the extreme circumstances, because some hotels won't cancel your room if you're canceling the day of, and you have to pay like a deposit fee, you have to have one night charge to your card, something like that. I think they were being lenient that time, but I mean, some people didn't get room cancellations returned to them because they were staying at other hotels. I mean, there are people out there who were really, really hurting after the weather at KatsuCon. And nobody really cared. People were like, oh, well, that's just how it is. You tried to travel during cold weather. And it's like, well, so why are we not paying attention to all of those people who really got screwed over versus these two cosplayers that went to BlizzCon? And I don't know if they missed the flight. Some people said that it was just simply they missed the flight. And if that's the case, then be more responsible. That's all I can say. If it was the airline's fault, stuff happens. I've been in that situation many times. It sucks. And you just have to deal with it the best that you can. Sometimes it's just the universe telling you, maybe you're not meant to go. I mean, you do what you can. So I don't want to fault the people for deciding to go through GoFundMe. I mean, they were thinking outside the box and they achieved their goal. Good on them. And really, as I said before, it just comes down to your wallet and your money. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to support this person for, you know, to go to a convention to pay for their costumes? Or would you rather save that money yourself? Or would you rather, you know, use the money on like a Kickstarter and support Reading Rainbow or whatever the case may be? If you were compelled to give money for that purpose, that's your call. None of us are going to change your opinion. And hey, good on them for finding a way to make it work. As simple as that. I personally don't agree with it. I don't want to spend my money to give someone else a trip that I would really love to take. I would rather save up my own money and try to make that trip myself. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Speaking of GoFundMe, I'm going to jump out of BlizzCon stuff for a second. More fun at GoFundMe. There's been an interesting one circling around the internet for the past 2 weeks of someone from the cosplay community was trying to get a chest enhancement, aka a boob job, through GoFundMe, and she did reach her goal. So there's another lovely example of, again, I personally, I just can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend giving my own paycheck to someone else to get a boob job. I think that's ridiculous. Ladies, there are a lot of ways to enhance your chest without having to go through any type of medical procedures. You can go to Target for $5, get a pair of wool socks, and you'd be surprised at how much lift they will give you without hurting your back in the process. Because again, something that guys are not aware of, those with large chests have a ton of back problems. It hurts like a mofo. I know I'm not a big chested lady, but because of the way that my body is built, I do have chest problems. I know that, again, that sounds silly because I look really tiny. Yeah, it's just the way that my body is built. It hurts. Okay. So again, personally, me, I am not giving money for a boob job, but hey, you know, good on her if she was able to make it happen. Be it. I mean, people, well, there was what, a potato? No, it was a casserole. It was some type of casserole that sold for $40,000 as well on GoFundMe. Okay. If that's what you people want to do with your money, go for it. I will save mine and use it for Dragon Con on myself next year. Back to BlizzCon stuff. The other thing that has recently popped up, and this is with the cosplay contest. The winner of the cosplay contest is Cosplay Pie, P-Y. You can look up this costume online from World of Warcraft, and it's this really cool praying mantis bug costume. Very interesting, very detailed. Well, apparently she never walked across the stage at BlizzCon. She got into prejudging, and then after prejudging happened, she tripped. Poor her costume broke as she tripped. She was able to fix it in time and tried to get up on stage at BlizzCon. And apparently, I've read this every single year that this has happened. BlizzCon apparently has notoriously steep ramps on their stage. I don't know why. You think they would have learned by now because they've had so many people fall on that stage. But apparently for Cosplay Pie, she fell again and she twisted her ankle and was not able to walk for a good chunk of that evening. So that costume never graced the stage. And there's been a lot of rumors going on around this. I think the biggest one I've heard is that according to the rules on Blizzard's website for their costume contest, in order to be eligible for award, everyone has to walk the stage. And that's the case with pretty much every convention I've been to, where if you go to prejudging and then you decide that you don't want to walk the stage, you don't win an award. You're automatically disqualified. I understand that this lady had very extenuating circumstances. It's a great costume. It definitely should have won first place. However, given the rules that are in place for the cosplay contest, she didn't follow all the rules. And I feel bad for saying that because I understand that crap happens. I get it. Akon for me is a fantastic example of this. I was sick as a dog. And if I wasn't so determined to, you know, go through the entire process with Amber, I would have just said, fudge it. I would have left the contest, gone back home to my hotel room, and crashed for the night because I was feeling horrible. But I knew that we wouldn't be eligible for a single award if we didn't walk. So I stuck it up, walked through the contest, didn't win squat once again, which is why I'm not Akon ever again, plus that 7 hours of my life being gone from a convention, that's sucky too. So I understand it. I get it. And especially when you twist your ankle, there's only so much that you can do. And she was on stilts as well. So the poor thing had so many things riding against her. At the same time, I can't help but think about everyone else who crossed that stage, who went through that entire process, who some of them may have not been feeling well. Some of them may also have hurt themselves going up those ramps. Those ramps, seriously, guys, the ramps are evil. I have heard so many horror stories about people getting hurt on the BlizzCon ramps. They should have been eligible for awards because she wasn't able to complete her mission, in essence. And again, I feel bad saying that. I really, really do. It's nothing personal against the cosplayer. I've never known this person. I just Facebooked them the other day when I heard about what was going on. I wanted to see what the costume was like. And I was really impressed by the craftsmanship and the detail of it. It's worthy of the award. At the same time, she didn't complete all the requirements. And I think that's the biggest issue right now. I know some people were throwing around rumors saying that, oh, the whole thing broke apart backstage. And that's why she didn't went on. Well, no, she actually hurt herself. There was a piece that did break off, but they were able to repair it. And she actually came back down later in the evening with the costume, just had it off to the side so people could photograph it and see it. But it never crossed the stage. So I'm curious to see what the fallout will be from there. I'm wondering if BlizzCon will make changes to their rules in the upcoming years, if there's going to be like extenuating circumstances. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. This may have just been one of those situations where it was like, obviously, she's physically hurt herself. We can't penalize her because she cannot move across the stage. If it were me personally, and I had been in that situation, what I probably would have done was pull out of the costume. She was on stilts as well, and she had a handler with her. And obviously, the costume was able to sit by itself. It could be moved around. So, what I would have done is I would have pulled myself from the outfit, had someone else, like my handler, go up on stage with the outfit, drop it down, and then have the, hey, here's the situation. She hurt herself while wearing this thing, but we want everyone to see the costume. Because I think that was also really disappointing for the audience members. There was this big hurrah about her winning. No one saw the costume. No one had a single flipping clue what the costume looked like. So given its mobility with her out of the outfit, I think it would have just been appropriate for her handler to come out, plop it on the stage, let everyone see the coolness of it, and then bring off and go from there. So it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is. I don't think it's going to be too big of a deal, but I'm sure BlizzCon's probably hearing enough complaints from the contestants and from other people in the audience, and it's like, okay, what can we do to ensure that this is resolved next year? I'm actually kind of surprised that they didn't post a photo of it as they announced her name. Because one thing that they do is they take your photo before you go into prejudging, which, that's a smart way to go so everybody knows what the costume looks like. And they had those photos processed that evening, and they were already up on the website as soon as the winners were announced. It would have made sense to use those ginormous screens that they have there, upload the image, and there's her costume. That would have been a very easy fix so people could see, hey, that's a cool outfit. We got to find it later. So, that's just me. That's what I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off base. I don't know. Mostly I'm curious about the fallout, and I'm betting BlizzCon's going to be changing their contest rules for the future because of situations like that. And that there are going to be people who are not happy about the standings. Because, again, if I were a judge of that contest, I wouldn't know what to do. Be so flabbergasted and trying to pick winners. Because costumes there are always so epic. Like, even when I did a 25 entrants, I think, every single one impressed the hell out of me. And it was just like, how do these people do this? I can't even comprehend putting A to B and all this armor and all of these lights. It's just like, holy crap. They had an orc there. And so few people cosplay as an orc because, they want to get, the right face expressions. They want to get the hair right. They want to get the movements right. And this guy put on like a muscle suit. He completely changed his face up. I mean, he looked like an orc from the game, and that impresses the crap out of me. So it's going to be an interesting fallout from all of this. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond and what changes in the future. So with that's all I have for this episode. You have 40 minutes of me talking to you and drinking a lot of water because I get dehydrated really quickly. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, comments, problems, suggestions, things that we can do in the future, if you have anything that you'd like me to ask Sparkle Pipsy, feel free to contact us at podcast@cospod.org, or you can visit us at our Facebook page, which is slash cosplay podcast. or on our YouTube channel and all that stuff, which will be listed here and here like I always do every single time we have an episode. Until then, you all have a lovely evening. Bye.